right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Peyton Doyle Show. I'm Peyton Doyle, host of the Peyton Doyle Show. I hope you all are having a fantastic day today. And I've got tons of NFL talk as usual, starting off with the Super Bowl. I have to recap that first, of course. First of all, let me just, you know, start off by saying this. I was very frustrated after the Super Bowl. From Monday to today, I had to get off of social media, stop watching sports talk. It was impossible for me to do that. Everyone dogging on Mahomes. They're hating on Mahomes right now. I couldn't take it. It made me sick. It's funny how the media can change after one game. Just one game. Before this game, the media was drooling over everything that Patrick Mahomes did. And now that he lost, I hear people saying, he'll never be better than Brady. Or even better, he will never get back to another Super Bowl. Chill. Everyone calm down. It's just one game. One loss on his career. And it wasn't even really his fault. The one thing that this Super Bowl proved to all of us was that football is still very much so a team effort. We all fall in love with the beautiful throws and the crazy stats that all of these quarterbacks seem to be putting up these years now, myself included. But football has been, still is, and always will be a game won at the line of scrimmage. If you can block better than the other team, you will win. Football is still won in the trenches. Mahomes was pressured on 52% of his dropbacks, while Brady was pressured on only 13% of his dropbacks. That's a major difference. Mahomes ran for 497 yards trying to evade sacks on Super Bowl Sunday, the most by any quarterback in a single game, the whole season, let alone in the Super Bowl. Then also, we had plays like this where Mahomes scrambles for what feels like an eternity and a half and then throws the ball and hits it. It hits the receiver right in the face. Two drop touchdowns, which would have been huge. Then with 9 minutes left in the second quarter, down 7-3 on 3rd and 8 in their own territory, Mahomes fired a laser to the sideline that bounced off of Travis Kelce's hands. Something that never happens. Travis Kelce's always a reliable target. Then on the defensive side of the ball, the Chiefs were penalized 11 times for 120 yards. One huge defensive holding call completely erased a Tom Brady interception. And then a neutral zone infraction call on a field goal led to another Buccaneers first down free of charge. Then the GOAT, Tom Brady, finds Rob Gronkowski in the end zone for another touchdown. The moral of the story is that the Chiefs didn't play good defense, they didn't block, they dropped passes, and were undisciplined. None of that at all in any way is at the fault of Patrick Mahomes. That's why they lost the game, not Patrick Mahomes. So please, everyone, stop this whole Mahomes is not as good as everyone said. Slow down. Stop it, okay? He's great. He's spectacular. He's a good leader, an extremely talented player. He's the best quarterback in the league right now. His team just didn't have it on the wrong day. So don't forget about Mahomes just yet. Now, with that being said, if you told me that the Chiefs weren't going to score a single touchdown, I would laugh at you. I'd tell you you were a fool and then laugh at you some more. And then by the end of the night, you would have been laughing at me because that's exactly what they did. The Buccaneers really held Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to zero touchdowns. The most prolific offense of the modern era could not score a single touchdown on the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers looked like they had one of the best defenses ever on Super Bowl Sunday. That was simply incredible. Genius play calling by Todd Bowles. The Buccaneers are lucky that there's no head coaching jobs open anymore because Todd Bowles would certainly be getting a lot of looks for a head coaching job right now. That was easily the best defensive play calling I have ever seen in a Super Bowl, ever. I was on Twitter during the game, of course, you know, at Peyton Doyle Show, if you don't follow me already. I tweeted that Todd Bowles, he's the Super Bowl MVP. And, you know, that's not taking away from how Brady played, but that defense looked like the Denver no-fly zone defense in 2015 and Seattle's Legion of Boom in 2013. I mean, in that one game, they looked exactly on the level of those great defenses. What did they say? What did they do on that side of the ball? What they did was absolutely remarkable. I mean, whatever Todd Bowles drew up before the game in 2 weeks of preparation for that defensive game plan was remarkable. I mean, you held the most prolific offense of the modern day with Andy Reid, this great, incredible quarterback, offensive whisperer, right, to zero touchdowns. Zero. That's incredible. And all 31 other teams are going to be watching that film all offseason, trying to replicate what Todd Bowles did to that Chiefs offense in that game. It was simply unbelievable, and there is no other way to put it. But let's get back to Mahomes and what the AFC might look like for the next couple of years. Now, while I say Mahomes is still great, I don't think that his road to the Super Bowl is going to be nearly as easy as it has been for the past few years. There are plenty of great and young quarterbacks in the AFC, like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield and the Browns look like a good team, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson still in the AFC, Trevor Lawrence in a few months, I'll get to him later, Tua and the Dolphins are a good up-and-coming team. There's probably more that I'm just, you know, not thinking about off the top of my head, but the AFC has plenty of young stars at quarterback. Mahomes will have competition in the AFC. And the thing I worry about with Mahomes is the same thing that Mickey worried about with Rocky back in Rocky III.
The worst thing happened to you that could happen to any fighter, you got civilized.
I'm worried Mahomes is going to get civilized. Mahomes is 25 years old. He's already got a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl MVP, a league MVP, a $500 million contract. He's about to be a dad. He's a part owner of the Royals, for crying out loud. But because of all of that, there's a bigger target on his back than anyone in the NFL. If you think that every team that plays them doesn't give them their 100%, you're crazy. You're crazy. If you think that every defensive lineman doesn't try a little extra harder to try and get the $500 million man to sit down, you're crazy. Every defensive back tries a little harder to get an interception on the golden boy. Every opposing quarterback tries a little harder to make a statement and outshine Mahomes. This loss in the Super Bowl might help Mahomes. It might make him work a little bit harder going into next season. But I'm worried for Mahomes in the AFC, because everyone wants to dethrone the king. That's how it works. That's how sports works. If you're at the top, everyone's chasing you. Everyone's trying to get at you. And right now the Chiefs are the top. And there's tons of great and talented teams in the AFC. And they just saw that their king can be defeated. Their king can be defeated. That made them all hungrier, a lot hungrier. They know that the Chiefs aren't invincible. They know that they can get them. The reason why Tom Brady is so great is because the man is 43 years old, about to be in his 22nd season, and he still trains and plays like he's that college kid at Michigan who is just a sixth-round pick, trying to prove that he's worth a roster spot. And that's what Mahomes needs to do. Mahomes needs to remember all the teams that passed up on him in the draft. Mahomes needs to remember his days at Texas Tech trying to prove that he's worth an NFL job. Mahomes needs to remember sitting his whole first season behind Alex Smith before ever getting to start. He needs to remember that, and he needs to approach next season and every other season with a chip on his shoulder, because everyone's coming after him. And when you're that good and when you're that talented and when you've already got $500 million, it's easy to kind of sit back and relax. Mahomes needs to keep an edge. He needs to keep a chip on his shoulder, and he needs to bring the intensity every single year if he still wants to be the king of the AFC. And speaking of Tom Brady, yes, he's the greatest of all time. We all know this. Obviously, we knew that before last Sunday. But something needs to be said about the example that he's set for other quarterbacks around the league. No, not the example he set with his work ethic. Not even the example he set with his leadership. The example he set with his comfortability to pack it up and move. Tom Brady knew that New England didn't do anything to help him on the offensive side of the ball for years. He goes to Tampa, which already has a loaded offense, loaded with offensive talent. And on top of that, they got Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, and Rob Gronkowski, who all scored touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady showed all other quarterbacks that you can leave a situation and instantly build a contender with another team. I think all quarterbacks around the league are like, wow, Tom really left Belichick and the Patriots after 20 years and a whole dynasty, 6 rings. He left that all behind. Why? Because they just weren't good enough. And Tom knew that. And Tom knew they weren't going to be good enough in his window to win another championship. So he left. And it worked out. He instantly assembled a Super Bowl team in Tampa. I don't think that it's a coincidence that Russell Wilson is going on the Dan Patrick show and saying that he's frustrated with always getting sacked and saying that he wants a say in personnel in the Seahawks front office. Around the league, 2 days after, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. He goes and says that, you know, he wants say and he's tired of getting sacked. All of a sudden, we never see Russell Wilson speak out like this. 2 days after Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers and his first season with the Buccaneers shows that you can leave a great organization that was great for an extended period of time, like Russ had great organization in the beginning part of his career. You can leave that and start something new and still be great. I think Russ is really trying to look at what Tom Brady did, and he's saying, hey, maybe I can do the same thing. But now the question is, should Russell Wilson want to be traded away from Seattle? I think it's a real possibility for sure, honestly. Former NFL wide receiver Brandon Marshall, who I believe actually did play with Russell Wilson for about a season. I don't know. He was kind of washed up when he was with Seattle. I don't ever remember him even catching a pass in a regular season game with them. But anyways, Brandon Marshall claims that Russell Wilson is extremely frustrated with the Seahawks and is trying to find a classy way to leave. And honestly, I would not be surprised if this was true. Since entering the league, Russell Wilson has been sacked 394 times. That is the most by any quarterback during that span. In fact, it's 70 more times than Matt Ryan, who is in second place during that span. Almost 70 more times. He's getting the crap beat out of him every single year. In fact, he has the record for most times sacked 40 plus times in a season. I think he has 8. I think that's the record, if I'm not mistaken. They cannot get a good offensive line around him. They never have been. He knows his career will be short if he keeps getting hit. They also haven't used the running game at all since Marshawn Lynch left. Then that defense isn't nearly as good as it used to be. Then on top of all of that, the Seahawks don't draft well recently, much like the Patriots. Sound familiar? This is exactly like the situation that Tom Brady left in New England. And Russell Wilson knows that. I say Russ gives them one more year. And if next year doesn't go well for the Seahawks, I wouldn't be surprised if Russ said, hey, I want out. Think this isn't going to work out anymore. Time to start something new. So now breaking news at about 9:30 this morning. 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt was released by the Houston Texans. Watt claims that he requested for his release. Requested it. He asked to be released. Houston, come on now. Come on. Everyone wants to get out of town in Houston. J.J. Watt, the guy who loved playing football in Houston, Texas. The guy who helped raise nearly $40 million to help for Hurricane Harvey relief. The guy who embraced the city and gave it his all, you drove that guy out of town. Why? How? How did you manage to do that? You hired a guy who was a bum and completely unliked amongst all of his players in Bill O'Brien. He then proceeded to trade away all of your good players because for some reason you were like, hey, you know, let's make this guy the GM too. So he traded away all of your good players and also Deshaun Watson's favorite target, DeAndre Hopkins, traded him away for a bag of plain Lay's potato chips. Then you fired him and then you completely wet the bed in the new GM and coach hiring process. You almost had to turn to a career backup quarterback with absolutely no coaching experience at all to be your head coach. And now because of the Texans' inadequacy, their franchise best player of all time demanded his release from the team. And your stud quarterback also wants to be traded on top of all that. Just a little cherry on top. The Texans are just a clown show. And the funniest part about this whole thing is that they're like in complete denial about it too. They like don't want to accept it. Texans owner Cal McNair claims that there's a lot of misinformation out there about their relationship with Deshaun Watson. And McNair went on to say that Deshaun Watson is a member of the Texans and we expect him to remain a member of the Texans and we look forward to having him back. Yeah. It's like they can't accept it. I bet Deshaun Watson is just sitting there and he's just shaking his head saying,
I'm not going to be here.
He's not coming back, guys. He's not coming back. He doesn't want to be back. And I wouldn't want to be back either. I mean, this is a joke. Like, they're turning into the Browns. It's almost like the Browns traded, you know, front offices with them. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're hiring nobodies as head coach, and they're hiring nobodies as GMs, and they're also not talking to their franchise quarterback at all about it, especially after trading away, you know, all of his good players and then also driving the best player in your franchise history out of town. This is a joke. We know that obviously that, you know, the owner is trying to say that. He's trying to make it seem like Deshaun Watson doesn't want to get traded. We all know that, okay? But the Texans are now officially just embarrassing themselves even more by doing that. Most embarrassing franchise in the NFL today. And I don't think it's very close. So about a half hour after J.J. Watt was released by the Texans, a very spectacular event took place that filled all Jaguars fans with joy. I'm sure that all Jaguars fans out there are sitting down at about 10 a.m. this morning, eating a bowl of oatmeal, maybe cereal, whatever you like better. You know, maybe you have some toast with some peanut butter on it, maybe some honey. And they're sitting there watching NFL Network. And they are smiling. They are filled with joy. Trevor Lawrence's pro day was today. A day that we have all been waiting for since he was in high school. He looked great, as expected. Threw 52 passes. Probably only two or three of them were off the mark. I saw him miss a couple of high passes in the end zone. But if you miss in the end zone high, that's what they want you to do. So even his mistakes are good mistakes. Because if you throw high in the end zone, there's almost a 0% chance of it becoming a turnover. And that's what teams want, is turnover-free football. The funniest part about all of this, it just cracked me up. I was just sitting there and I realized Urban Meyer is just making it so obvious that they're not even considering anybody else at number one overall. I mean, just look at this. Urban Meyer is just, he's just standing there, you know, in the middle of it, right in the middle of the workout, just chatting it up with Clemson head coach Dabo Sweeney, probably just saying, man, this guy, yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, I know he's pretty good, man. Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely going to be a Jaguar. Yeah, he has been. He was going to be a Jaguar since they had the number one overall pick. I mean, that's the easiest no-brainer ever. And today just made it more clear. He looked great. I've never seen an NFL head coach get so up close and personal at a prospect's pro day before, and I don't blame him. He looked really sharp, and his release was very quick and clean, tight spirals, and like I said on Twitter, his throws were crispier than Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, especially this throw right here. I mean, just look at it. This was the last throw of the day. A broken play, so he rolls out to his left, then rolls back out to his right, and then fires an absolute laser beam on the money down the field. That's a finger-licking good throw right there. You know, I think this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I really think that Trevor Lawrence is actually a better prospect than Andrew Luck was. He's taller than Luck. I think he's got a stronger arm than Luck. I think he throws better on the run than Luck and in play action than Luck. Trevor Lawrence might be the best prospect since Peyton Manning. He's great at the line of scrimmage and making reads. He's athletic, accurate, and he's got a big arm. And he's been ready for this since he was a true freshman at Clemson. The Jaguars organization and fans should be extremely happy right now because they've got a real one for the next 10 to 15 years. Now, for my final segment of this show, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, everyone's favorite, right? We all like to laugh at them. And they're giving us more reasons to. Every single week, we have another reason to laugh at the Dallas Cowboys, even in the offseason. The Dallas Cowboys are acting like absolute imbeciles. You know, pretty usual. So for those of you who haven't heard, the Cowboys dropped a hype video for next season. And guess who didn't make the cut? Their franchise quarterback, Dak Prescott. The Cowboys claim that it wasn't anything against Dak. Lies. Okay. The Cowboys, I believe, would be fools to let Dak walk this offseason. One, because he's easily the best quarterback in the NFC East right now. You win that division with Dak. He's the best quarterback. Two, sometimes you don't realize how much someone means to you until they're gone. And after Dak's injury, it became crystal clear that Dak Prescott was the leader of that team. And you may not think that he's the greatest quarterback ever or the most talented quarterback, because he's not, but he's such a tremendous leader that really helps that team perform. It was obvious when he left that they didn't have a leader anymore. And a tremendous leader on a good football team becomes a great quarterback on the right team. I can't believe they just casually left Dak out of the hype video. I mean, it just makes it so obvious that you don't want him. I mean, it's disrespectful to do something like that. You don't appreciate the man at all. He's the biggest superstar on your team, and you left him off of your hype video? He's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Just because of that makes him one of the most popular men in America. And you just said, oops, yeah, we forgot about him. Give me a break. I mean, that's just such a joke right there. I mean, no one's going to give you more views on Instagram or on social media, wherever you posted that video, then having Dak Prescott in there, because even people that don't pay attention to football know about him because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team that everyone loves, and he's getting all these commercials too. Whew. I honestly really hope that the Cowboys let Dak walk this offseason, because maybe he'll get the opportunity to go to a good team who actually loves him and supports him. On that note, that's it, everyone. Thank you all so much for watching and or listening. Please make sure to like, follow, or subscribe wherever you may be listening. And also, if you haven't already, please make sure to go follow the show on social media at Peyton Doyle Show. That is at Peyton Doyle Show. Thank you all so much for watching, and please make sure to stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you.